Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
To see each of you here this morning, and we just trust that, again, you have been already refreshed, strengthened. I'll tell you what a wonderful message in worship, the love of God. And we're going to actually just continue to flow right along that vein here in Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution?" This is a good question. Think about this question, and think about each of these phrases as we say it. And sometimes you kind of hear this and almost, you know, you almost kind of know that you know, but pretend you're hearing this for the first time. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For your sake, we're killed all day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." Now, when you look at verse 35, many times these are the very circumstances that cause the biggest "why God" questions that we'll have. Yet, and you see the persecution back in the day he's referring to, Nero. I mean, literally, just men, women, and children throwing them into the arena for the lions to devour. I mean, horrible persecution that Jesus prophesied would happen. And in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In these things, in the context of the worst situations and things that we experience, peril, sore nakedness, we know one thing for sure: death, life, angels, principalities, power, things present, things to come, height, depth, no created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, the Apostle Paul doesn't run away from these kind of things and paint some flowery picture of Christianity. He says, in the worst depths of despair, in the most frustrating, confusing situations, you can know one thing for sure. One thing for sure. That thing, that situation, that question you have can't separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. We talked about this a little bit last week, you know, and kind of brought out in worship this morning. Jesus is a safe place. He is absolutely, he's the one that we come unto when we're heavy laden. And he's the one who gives us rest for our soul. And so no matter what's going on, I know one thing. I know that he is good, he is safe, and in the midst of the worst situations that could be, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another scripture kind of right along these lines in Ephesians 3, it says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's that love this morning, even in just the word that kind of came out, the deep calling unto deep. It's a love that passes knowledge. When you experience a deep calling unto deep, it's not like you're getting some formula in your head. There's a knowing, there's an intuitive understanding in your spirit. Sometimes people, you know, there's this thing called the assurance of salvation. When you receive Jesus as your Lord, there is an assurance of knowing that you're his child. There's an assurance of knowing that you're going to be with him someday. We could say that you know you're going to go to heaven when you die. A lot of times the phrase is coined that way. And people who don't understand that, it can just sound like arrogance, it can sound presumptuous, but the knowing is a deep that calls into deep. It's something that passes knowledge. It's a knowing, the scripture says in Romans, the Holy Spirit in us bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. The knowledge that I'm a child of God isn't something that is just up here in my head. The Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. There's a deep calling unto deep. It's a love that passes knowledge. And the scripture is so clear regarding this love that there is nothing we experience in life, verse 35, 38, 39, nothing we experience in life, or as he was recounting the tragedy of the horrific deaths they were experiencing in 36, 37, none of that stuff can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, he's basically saying when stuff happens, don't let it ever, ever shake your love, your realization of his love for you. There may be a lot of things you don't understand, but one thing you got to realize is that regardless of the circumstances surrounding all that stuff, we've all got our stories, we've all got our situations, faces, names, situations that can fit each of these different things. But one thing that we got to know for sure is that these things cannot separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, that love has got to be that starting point. God is love. He absolutely is love. And what we are encouraged to, what the Apostle Paul is praying for the Ephesians, is that they'll be able to comprehend with the saints borders, if you will, width, length, depth, height. We just think in those concrete terms. But the love of God that passes knowledge, to realize how big it is, how amazing it is. And when you think of the love of God in these terms, it's not a love of God that is, that isn't holy. God is absolutely holy, but he is love. And you know, it's kind of like we kind of get these two concepts, you know, holiness, you know, a picture of kind of a prudishness or a stinginess or a condemning or a critical spirit, holy, you know, and almost kind of a, you know, oh, you know, I'm, you know, holier than thou. Sometimes we'll kind of have those, you know, concepts of holiness, but he is holy and he is love. You know, he's both. He is holy, he is love. And so it's a holiness and it's a love, praise God, that doesn't, you know, encourage you to sin or look the other way at sin. It's a love that takes you back and restores you. It's a love that's honest with you. Sin is not honest. Sin is dishonest. Sin tells you what you want to hear. He loves you. He tells you what you need to hear. And he'll say that truth in love. But there is a love of him that is absolutely vast. And what a lot of times that we need to do, so many times in our walk, is that we need to grow in the knowledge of his love for us. Because your love for him will only grow into the proportion of the revelation of his love for you. And we understand that. A lot of times, you know, you start out, sometimes babes in the Lord, they're, you know, their first love. That's why, you know, John in Revelation exhorted the church, return to your first love. You can start out receiving the love of God and in your heart reciprocating that love for him. And then kind of subtly get off into kind of a works mentality trying to do stuff. Not out of responding to his love for you, but just kind of trying to do things to earn something that you already have. And it is a powerful thing when you begin to realize, no, God loves me. God is for me. And so what we're going to do this morning is we are going to minister a message called Jesus Loves You. And, you know, at Door of Life, there's basically three main areas that we cover in terms of our mission statement. That is the love of God. Praise God, his love for you, his love for the world, the church, and the world. Also, just how to walk victoriously in Christ, learning to overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil. And then three is just finding and fulfilling God's plan for your life. And a lot of times in our messages, in our series, we'll kind of hone in on different things. But this is the foundation. This is the first one. Jesus loves you. This is the foundation on which everything else is built. If you are going to have a consecrated life, if you're going to have a victorious life, if you're going to have an overcoming life, it's going to be because you know first and foremost, he loves you. I like to say it this way. Any area that I have victory in right now, any area that I'm walking in authority and in freedom in right now, I can tell you what, there is a trail of the mercy and the grace of God that stayed with me until I overcame. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You overcome by that mercy that stays with you and stays with you and stays with you, and you keep getting back up until you grow and you get it and you get victory. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is first and foremost the foundation by which everything else comes together. So Jesus loves you. And as we get going here, I think you're kind of get the sense of what we're going to do in terms of laying out the message. But first of all, we want to say, point number one, Jesus loves you. What does that mean? You know, some of the songs in worship this morning so fit the various different points of the message as we were just kind of going through, and you begin to think about who Jesus is. And some of my favorite scriptures is, you know, when you look at Jesus, there's a lot of different perspectives that you can see of Jesus. And a lot of times we'll use the perspective of the good shepherd. We'll use the perspective of, you know, the friend, you know, in a way that connects with you. But we also have to understand Jesus from what I just say, kind of a majestic perspective. When I say Jesus loves you, who are we talking about? This is who we're talking about. Colossians 1, it says, this is talking of Jesus. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of over all creation. For by him all things were created, by Jesus, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. In Colossians 2, kind of along the same lines, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And then finally, Hebrews, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, there are times in our life we've got to remember when we say that phrase, Jesus loves you, who it is we're saying that loves you. We're not just saying a compassionate shepherd. We are talking about majesty. We're talking about the King of all kings. We're talking about the Lord of all lords, the one who created all things, who is before all things, the one in whom all things consist. Jesus loves you. When you get that perspective, then some of the other tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril. Jesus loves you. Christ loves you. The Creator of all loves you. There is a divine perspective we've got to get when we hear Jesus loves us in terms of who Jesus is. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the ultimate. He is the most famous person that ever lived. Is it a big deal to have somebody famous know you? The most famous person in the world loves you. Now, I know that can almost just sound trite or cliche, but this is the way we begin to meditate and grow and to develop in who it is that loves us. Because what happens is we can kind of compartmentalize the tribulation, the distress, the peril, the sword, and I'm going through stuff, and I know God loves me and all that. But when we begin to magnify the Lord and magnify who it is that loves us, wait a second, Jesus loves me. Who is Jesus? He is the Creator. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the one in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. And I'm complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. I mean, if you can just really begin as you begin to grow in the knowledge of God, and that's really what, you know, Ephesians that we're commanded, you know, where Paul's praying for, that we'll know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now, this is an important thing. We need to know the love of Christ. In a way, it kind of sounds like a self-serving thing. Jesus loves me. Jesus loved me. Yes, He loves you. He loves you. I love the old Bible, the old song that just says, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to Him be strong. Little ones, to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus, the Bible tells me so. Well, where in the Bible does it tell me so? We need to go in the Bible where it tells me so. Yeah, I'll tell you what, you can get strong in things. And it's an amazing thing. I've just walked through this, even as a pastor. I have found people who have gone through some of the worst physical situations regarding sickness and disease come out on the other end some of the strongest people I know on healing. People who have gone through some things in the area of financial lack will come out through the other end strong, knowing God's will to prosper and to take care and meet my needs. People who have gone through tragedies in situations that are, you know, horribly confusing come out on the other end and have a revelation of heaven that you just couldn't shake. You can get strong in areas, and a lot of times life will happen in these situations. We'll respond in faith. There's a testing of our faith, and we stand that test, and we come out the other side of that test really good in subjects. This is an area, a subject in the love of God that we're commanded to get strong in. You know, the enemy would have us focus, what we say, the flesh, the world, and the devil. Get our attention on the inadequacies and the weaknesses of our own flesh. Get our attention on the persecution or people's, you know, what they've wronged you and how they've wronged you in the world, or on the enemy's attacks. But here the scripture tells us that we would know the love of Christ, and we begin to get our attention on God, you love me. And in the context of all these situations, I'm persuaded. Paul got persuaded of something, that nothing could separate him from the love of God that was in Christ. When you look at the Apostle Paul's life, all that stuff happened to him regularly. And yet he hung on to the fact, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. If you've got that one truth going for you, you can get through anything. Jesus loves me. That song we sang, He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. What is that? As a person who's holding, clinging on to the love of God. I like to say, when we receive, you know, a prayer to receive Christ, there's many things I don't understand, but one thing I believe, you love me. Well, that truth doesn't stop when you receive Christ. That truth goes on the rest of your life. There are still many things I don't understand today in this situation, in my circumstances, but I believe you love me. I believe it's within the parameters of your love, whatever it is that I'm going through. I haven't bunked outside the parameters of Christ's love as it relates to my circumstances and situations that I'm going through. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And just getting the whole import of what that means. Jesus loves you. The King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, loves me. Absolutely loves me. These are things that we have to really stop and meditate on and think about and realize who it is that loves me. This is powerful. This is majesty. I shared a few months ago about a dream that I had about the return of Christ. And one of the things that struck me as we were just kind of, you know, just kind of, it was kind of a day in the life, you know, it was nighttime when I had the dream. I mean, obviously it was nighttime when I had the dream, but it was nighttime in my dream when I experienced the return of Christ, and it was an amazing thing. And what struck me was the sound and the sight and the glory in Jesus. And it was just victorious. I mean, amazing. There's a lot of pressure on us in this world to just hush the name of Jesus. There's a lot of pressure in this world to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. A lot of pressure. I mean, think of the Apostle Peter. Walks them for 3.5 years. And when the push comes to shove, I don't know him. Don't know the guy. Never seen him before. Why did Peter do it? Why did Peter cave? A lot of pressure. We experienced that same pressure Peter experienced. But I'll tell you what. every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And under the earth, on the earth, above the earth, He is Lord. And it's when we decide that right now, praise God, Jesus, You are Lord. I see You as You are. I see You, King of kings, Lord of lords. I see You in Your majesty now. I see You in Your glory now. I see You in Your power now. I mean, that dream kind of woke me up. And I remember the first thought I had when Jesus pierced the sky, because it was amazing and powerful. My first thought was, I'm so glad I'm with Him. I'm so glad I'm with Him. I am His. Oh, I'm a believer. Hallelujah. I am Yours. Hallelujah. So good to be bought with the price. Ooh, wow. We need to remember who it is that loves us as we're going through the situations of life. Yes, He's a good shepherd. Yes, I love to accentuate that as much as anybody. But there are times when you need to remember His majesty and His power. And He is greater than he that's in this world. And He is greater than your circumstance and situation. And you can get good. You can get strong in God's love for you. You can get strong in that one thing, to where Jesus, You're all I need. Jesus loves. He loves you. Jesus, we said Jesus loves you, but Jesus loves you. What does that mean? Jesus loves you. Paul writing to the Galatian region, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain. He loved me and gave Himself for me. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Demonstrates the love that while we were sinners, Christ died. He loved us, gave Himself for us. Demonstrates the love in that He died for us. Surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, or the original Hebrew translates sickness and pains. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. You know, intentions, I've found this in my own life. Intentions alone will not bless somebody else financially. Intentions alone won't help get me into shape. Intentions alone won't be a blessing to somebody else. Intentions are great, but intentions are only a starting point. Jesus didn't just intend, God didn't just intend to do something. Jesus did it. Love happens when you begin to actually do something. You begin to act. You begin to do the Word of God. It's not the hearer of the Word that's blessed, it's the doer that's blessed. Jesus didn't just love us in intention, but He actually laid down His life for us. This is an event that really, really happened. Jesus said, nobody takes my life. I lay it down of my own free will. The first man, Adam, used his free will to take of the forbidden fruit. He had a choice. He had a decision. The last Adam used his free will to lay down his life. Jesus said, nobody takes my life. I lay it down of my own free will. And we saw that in the garden. He said, Father, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. Jesus drank that cup. He laid down his life. I have forgiveness of sins because my iniquity was laid on him. I have the provision of healing for my body because those stripes were laid on him. My peace today, there's a legal reason I have that peace that passes understanding. Because the chastisement for my peace was upon him. It's a redemptive blessing. Jesus took our place. And again, just another song that we sang about. I think it was the first one we sang. Just how amazing. Amazing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life. This is love, 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 love. It wasn't just things for us to observe as far as what to do and how to live, but he came to lay down his life for us. And he said, man, there's no greater gift that a man has than he laid down his life for his friends. That's what we've honored just even recently with, you know, the Veterans Day and things like that. We're honoring, you know, the men and women who laid down their lives for us. No greater gift. We have enjoying freedom of worship this morning because people laid down their lives for these freedoms and for these rights. Jesus laid down his life. He laid down his life so that we could enjoy that peace. We could enjoy the forgiveness of sins. But it is something that he had to do. He experienced the whipping, the beating, the mocking. That was love. It really happened. I got that revelation, boy, just a few months ago, just even this past summer. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. There is nobody on planet Earth who can ever say, nobody's ever done anything for me. There is somebody who's done the most important thing that could ever be done for anybody. He died for the sins of the whole world. That means mine are in there and yours are in there. Everybody's are in there. Somebody did something wonderful for you. Somebody did something wonderful for you that I don't care. The somethings that everybody else does for the rest of your life all put together cannot compare. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. He's walked a mile in my shoes. He's experienced my condition. But I can't say I've walked a mile in his shoes. I don't know what it's like to bear the sins of the world. That was an act of love that is, it's hard to fathom. I mean, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He wasn't saying that just quoting scriptures. He was saying that fulfilling scriptures. He experienced, as a result of our sin, a separation, which is really, that's death. Spiritual death is not the physical death of this body. It's an existence that's separate from God. He redemptively took our place and experienced that payment of sin, which is death. But praise God, he was righteous. So once that payment was paid, then, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But he experienced that for me and for you. Hard to imagine. I mean, when he was in Gethsemane sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. I mean, think of this. This is new territory. Nobody's ever done this before. And he's going to experience, and he knows he's going to experience something like this. And yet he's walking by faith according to the prophetic scriptures. And it's got fully man, fully God. And he did it for me and for you. And when he did go with those soldiers, Peter, remember, he took out his sword. He said, Peter, put back your sword. He said, just, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. He said, don't you realize, I can call 12 legions of angels right now and get me out of this if I wanted to. He could have got himself out of that situation anytime he wanted to. But if he would have called for deliverance, then we would not have been delivered ourselves. He loved us, and he gave himself for us. Sometimes, not only do we have to think about how famous and majestic Jesus is, but we need to go back and remember what Jesus did. There is one time of the year on Good Friday, we turn this cross around the other way. And on the other side of it is all red and bloody. Because in that Good Friday service, we stop and remember that sacrifice. We remember that this really happened. That experience of, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. that he did for us. So, we need to realize Jesus, he loves us. He absolutely loves us, and he demonstrated that love when he laid down his life for our sins. So, let that soak in. Jesus died. And I've had to do that before too, when I've just allowed myself a guilty conscience. You know, stuff that I've already acknowledged before God will come back and try to beat me up and condemn me from the things in the past. I had in my spirit one time, driving to Hardee's, a high school or senior, and all of a sudden just kind of beating myself up with something, and all of a sudden I got the picture of Jesus on the cross, hanging on the cross, bloodied. And the Spirit of God just spoke to my heart and he said, "It's good enough. Let it go." You know, when you're beating yourself up over mistakes and condemnation, we got to remember, he loved us. He paid the price. It was good enough. Either the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from sin or it doesn't. It either does or it doesn't. And if it does, and he died for the sins of the whole world, that's my sin. I have no legal right to hold on to it anymore. I have no legal right to hold on to condemnation because the power of the blood has cleansed me. And I receive that cleansing and I receive that forgiveness. Because he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. God did not send Jesus to start up another religion. He sent Jesus to deal with a real sin problem as a real Savior, to save us from a real hell that sin brings you to, and bring us to a real heaven that salvation brings, that salvation prepares and it makes available to you. Praise God. So Jesus, he loves you. And then finally, Jesus loves you. All right? There are several revelations we have to get from this phrase. Not only is it Jesus who loves me, not only is it the fact that Jesus loves me, but the fact that Jesus loves you, but Jesus loves you in particular. What then should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. And who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. God loves you. The scripture really personalizes this. If God is for us, who can be against us? He is for you. He loves you. 1 John 4. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. Again, we kind of brought this out in the worship as well too. That God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. We love him because he first loved us. I so love that. I love that picture of God seeing us individually. He does. You know, when I'd had that dream about the return of Christ, it kind of happened. There were several different phases to it. But once I was, you know, kind of saw him, and then there was a place in heaven where I saw him, and then there was that one-on-one time that we spent, and it was a fellowshipping time. And I was amazed at how, I mean, I knew theologically God knew the details of my life, but it was amazing to just see in fellowshipping with God in that dream, just how intimately he was aware with every event, every person, every situation. And engaged, not off with, you know, some kind of theological, you know, taking some theological test to see how it passed. He was engaged personally. He loved me. I mean, who cares about the number of hairs on your head? He does. That's a demonstration of just the intimate care. He loves you. He cares for you. You know, we talked about Peter. He missed it. But you know, even before Peter missed it, Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Peter," because Peter just got done saying, "Well, Lord, I'll never deny you." He said, "You know, I'll die, you know, but I'll never deny you." And Jesus said, "Well, yeah, Peter, you're going to, you know, deny me three times actually before the rooster crows twice." And he said, "But it's okay, Peter. I prayed for you. I prayed for you." I love that picture Jesus even knows we were going to make a mistake before we made it. That picture here, and in verse 34, it says, "He, Christ who died is also furthermore risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Does Jesus make intercession for us right now at the right hand of God? Yeah. Yeah. I would have loved to hear Jesus praying for Peter. I would have loved to hear that prayer. "Well, Father, Peter's going to miss it 3 times. And I know Peter. I know his temperament. This is going to really crush him. Oh, Father, I pray for him. Just help him to know that he is loved. And not only that, but help him to restore his brothers too when he comes back." I don't know. But, you know, Jesus knew Peter. You know, Jesus knows you. He knows your emotions. He knows your temperament. He knows your deal. And after you're feeling, he's praying for you. He's praying for you. He didn't just pray for Peter. He prays for you. He prays for you. Just because you don't have the ability to pray for 7 billion people simultaneously doesn't mean God doesn't have the ability and to know the number of hairs on their head. We got to just get out of the realm of the natural when we meditate on these things and realize it's true. Like I said, in that dream, there were people, and all of a sudden Jesus took time and he began to talk to me about my life and the things. Wow. Could his database be that big that he knows that intimate? Oh, like somebody said, you know, computers to God would be like an ox cart for him. Archaic. He is amazing. And this is stuff, again, by faith, we begin to grow in the knowledge of his love for us. But we begin to see something. He makes intercession for us. Ephesians says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." I love the Amplified. "For we're God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." This is a beautiful picture. We are his workmanship. In other words, when I received Christ, I'm not just child of God. I'm child of God with the DNA on the inside of me that's unique as his workmanship. And what I do down here is I spend my time finding out what those good works are that he ordained me to walk in. Each one of us individually are his workmanship. Not only does he know the number of hairs on our head, but he's also within each of our lives made paths and works and things for us to do. That like Jesus, we say, we're about the Father's business. We're about the things that he has called us to do. His workmanship. I love that. That is very individual. There's things he's called me to do that are different from what he's called you to do. In fact, God likens it to a body with many members. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12 that he placed each member in the body according as it pleased him. Whether you're a hand or you're a foot or you're an eye or you're an ankle or whatever you are because that's what it pleased him to make you be. This is where it gets down to God loves you. He loves you and he has a plan for your life. It is a very individual thing. When we say, you know, Jesus loves you, it is you. It is absolutely, I think it was, I'm trying to think of who it was. I had a great little, I think it was a quote from Augustine. He says, "He loves each of us as if there was only one of us." That's well put. Don't you feel that way? When you're fellowshipping with him, it's like, wow, I must just, wow, praise God. Me and God got this thing going. That's the way it should be. Jesus said, well, I mean, we know he loves everybody, but Jesus said, he said, you go in the secret place. He said, when you pray, you go in the secret place, shut the door, pray to your Father in secret. There is an intimacy, there's a one-on-one with the Father that you experience, that you know, I don't just know that he loves me, he died for the sins of the world, I know he died for me, and I know he loves me. And I experience that love in a personal, individual way that is absolutely amazing. So, the summary verse of Scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus loves you. And this morning we're just reiterating that phrase from a few different perspectives. The perspective, first of all, that Jesus loves you. Praise God. And we're going to see a video here in just a minute. So you can cue that up if you'd like. Jesus loves you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the most famous, powerful person that ever existed. That's the one who loves you. And he loves you. He doesn't just say he loves you. He did something for you that nobody else has ever done. He legally made the way, paid the price with his own blood, made access back to the Father, allowed us, created us, you know, created the ability to receive Christ, and to them, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. He made that way. And he did it. He didn't just do it for the sins of the world. He did it for the sins of the world, but he also did it for you. He is your Jesus. He is your Lord, your Savior. Praise God.
I fall on my knees.
Father, we just thank you this morning for that amazing grace and how amazingly sweet the sound it is that saved each one of us, that has touched us, that has reached out to us. Lord, we just thank you for the fact, oh, that you love us, the greatest truth in all the world. In the face of peril, in the face of persecution, hunger, in the face of sword, in the face of all the things that we face in this world, you love us. You are for us. Jesus, you really came. You really died for us. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you. Thank you for loving us, for laying down your life for us. And not only that, but causing us to be born again with born again purpose, plans, paths you've prearranged for us to live. We're amazed at your love. We're thankful. No matter what's going on, it's reset by the love of God. Jesus, you're all we need. You're all we need. You love us. You gave yourself for us. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Jesus, you are my Lord, my King. I honor you. I give you glory. I give you praise. You are worthy. You loved me. You demonstrated it by laying down your life. I believe it in the face of all adversity. You love me in the face of all adversity. Nothing can separate me from that love. It was given to me personally. My sin was on that cross. You were thinking of me. The very hairs of my head are numbered because you care that intimately about me. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call upon your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. You died for me. I receive that love now. The sacrifice for my sin the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And I'll live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.